Well, we're neighbors, pretty close neighbors, some of us over there in the dorm. And we will be for the weekend, so let's be friends. The last time I said that to my neighbor's dog. The little mutt had gotten out, and he was growling at me. I knew it was a neighbor's dog, belonged to Sheila right next door. And I said, wait a minute, hold it. Since we're neighbors, let's be friends. And besides, you are growling at me in my yard. I didn't appreciate that too much anyway. If you feel like growling a little bit, if that'll help you, why, you go right on ahead. I did have somebody came to the Glen one time, and I was a speaker that evening. And afterwards, this young man came up, and he said, Mr. Sandy, I am so-and-so. He said, I need to make an apology to you. Oh, I said, that's so? He said, well, what is it? He said, well, I have never seen you before tonight. I have never heard you before tonight, but I just didn't like you before I came. Well, that's interesting. I can understand that after he had met me, but not before. But he said, I want you to know I'm sorry, I've changed my mind, and you're not so bad. Well, I hope that you will, if you've listened to me four times, that you'll maybe find out I'm not so bad. And neither do I growl like the neighbor's dog. Now, my assigned task tonight, and we're all apparently under orders tonight, John, has to do with a personal testimony. There are two things that trouble me a little bit about giving a personal testimony. The first is that my wife is with me, and that always makes it more difficult because she keeps my stories straight. And frankly, I like the way I tell them better than the way they really were. And then I heard about the man, maybe you did too, who spent $4,000 on his family tree. $1,000 to dig up the family history, and when he looked at it, $3,000 to cover it up. Well, mine has been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we have a clear conscience, can look anybody straight in the eye tonight, thanks to what he's done for us. My testimony that I want to share is based on that scripture that I quoted at the outset, Psalm 116, and particularly verse 1. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. I want to tell you about the earliest remembrance that I have of God actually answering prayer. It's when I was 8 years old. I was born on a farm in Iowa, way out in the country. I went to a country school where there were 8 grades in that school with one teacher for all 8 grades. It wasn't too bad because there was a total of 9 kids in the whole school. And I was the youngest. I started into kindergarten when I was 4 years old because I would go down about 3/4 of a mile from home with my dog, wait for the kids to get out of school, and teacher said to my dad, why don't you let Lauren come on and I'll put him through sort of a kindergarten. So I got through kindergarten and first grade when I was 4 and 5 years of age because I had a private tutor. Well, my folks moved off the farm into a town called Lamar's, about 5,000 people. Lucy and I were back there a year ago, and Lamar's had been unhindered by 40 years of progress. It's still 5,000 people. And so we moved into this little town. I remember it so clearly. I was 8 years old, fourth grade. And the first day in school, I was in my class. There were 24 kids in just my one room in the fourth grade. I had come from a school. There were 9 kids in all 8 grades. And I was so scared, so petrified, and so depressed by this huge number of kids that I went home that night and I begged my parents not to force me to go back to that school one more day. And I knew that just south of town, about 2 miles, was another one of those one-room country schoolhouses. And I pled with them that they would let me go to that school. But they said, no, that was not possible. I'd have to go to school and face 24 kids in just one room. And I'll never forget how my mother came up to my bedside after I'd gone to bed at night, and she would pray that God would give me the courage just for one more day at school. And I look back on that and I tell, the Lord answered my mother's prayer. And that is my first recollection that the word God was just more than a word, and that prayer did something. Well, 53 years have passed. 4 months ago, my mom, who's 85, had a stroke. Paralyzed on her right side, left without her speech. She's in a convalescent hospital. I've been able to visit her out there 3 times in California. About a month ago, Lucy and I were there, and we got into a habit. Every night, I'd stand beside her bed and pray for her, that she'd have the Lord's presence very clear in her life, and that she would sense His peace. So I was there last week, and I asked her, I said, Mom, do you have peace? And she can nod her head and say, yes. And she, when she gets agitated, she can say some sentences that you can hear some of the words. I said, is the Lord present to you? And then she started to talk a long stream. I said, Mom, are you trying to tell me that you saw Jesus? And she can use her left hand. She said, oh, yes, yes, she said. I asked her 3 different days, 3 different ways. Now, I have to admit, I know the Lord. I love the Lord. I'm kind of a little skeptic here. So I asked her 3 different times, 3 different ways. Did you actually saw Jesus? Yeah, yes, yes. Did he say anything? No. We were in a room. I said, was it here? I said, where? She said, right there. She pointed at the foot of her bed. Well, I stand here tonight, I believe that 53 years later, the situation's kind of reversed. But the Lord still answers prayer with a sense of His presence and with peace. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He has inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. God help me to do it. How about you? I trust that this weekend, starting at this moment, this meeting, will be a prayer time for all of us. And whatever it is that's burdening you, that's bugging you, that's rearing its ugly head, maybe oppressing you, keeping you awake at night, I hope that this weekend you find what it is to be able by prayer to roll that burden on the Lord and to see Him lift your spirit and lift that burden and then begin to answer that prayer. The next time I recall very clearly answered prayer was about 10 years later. Now, here's where I need Lucy. I never tell this, but I have to say, now, when was this again? But it was in the mid-30s, and some of you may have read in your history books about the Dust Bowl days. Well, I remember them very well, because the Dust Bowl days drove my dad off the farm in Iowa. I was a senior in high school at the time, and the dad auctioned off the farm, sold it, moved to California. I was a senior in high school at the time, and I remember the first day in high school out in California. I was sitting in typing class, poking away at about, I say, somewhere between 12 and 14 words per minute, not counting for errors, because these are cow milking, corn husking hands. They're not typing hands. And so all of a sudden, it slowed down to 0 words per minute, because down the outside aisle, next to the windows, I saw a beautiful blonde girl. And I thought, wow, I wonder if I could ever get a girl like that. So I inquired about her as to who she was, where she lived, if she was going steady with anybody, and if so, how big he might be. And she was, and he was. But through a series of events, I met her, and I found out that she liked to go to church and went there regularly. Well, I really wasn't that great on it. I sort of dropped out a little bit when I was 13, 14, when my parents no longer insisted. So I thought, well, maybe if I go to that little church, I could walk home with her after the church service. And there I remember that night that I heard for the first time that I could remember. Now, perhaps I'd heard it before, but it's the first time I could remember that not only was I a sinner, now I knew that already, and that Christ had died on the cross for me. Now, I had never really disbelieved that, but it was this part, that I needed to receive him into my heart as my own personal Savior. And unless I did, I was not on my way to heaven. I was not a Christian. Well, my reaction to that, of course, was perhaps like yours was, negative. That's too easy. That's a fire escape from hell. And I thought that the good deeds outweighed the bad and all the rest. But I went back Sunday after Sunday, figuring I could still endure that sermon just for the privilege of walking home with that blonde. And I kept hearing it. Well, I thought, well, I was sort of confused. Well, maybe I did do that when I was in Sunday school back in Iowa, but I don't remember what it was. And one night I had gone to bed. I was laying there about 10:30 at night, awake, thinking, I don't remember ever asking Jesus Christ to come into my heart and life. If I die tonight, I'm not certain where I'd go. Of course, who's going to die tonight? You're young, healthy, long life ahead of you. Well, suppose you did. So after a while, I decided, I couldn't make up my mind whether I had or had not. I thought, well, I'm going to make certain now, so there'll be no doubt from this point on. So I got out of bed on my knees, very quietly, because I slept with my younger brother, and I would have been embarrassed for him to catch me on my knees, at least then. And I said something almost exactly like this. I said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I believe that you died on the cross for me. And if I have never asked you to come into my heart before, I do ask you to come in right now. And I got back into bed. And as I've often said, for me, there was no emotional upheaval. There was no great experience so much, no voices or lights. I got back into bed, but as I look back on it now, I'm sure that's the night that Jesus Christ came into my heart. And though I didn't know the verse then, I know it now. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I'll sup with him, and he with me. If you died tonight, do you know for certain where you'd go? Could there be anybody here who's like me? You think maybe you did, but you're not sure? Right now, right where you sit, while you're looking at me, you can be talking to the Lord. And in your heart, you can say to him right now, I don't know for sure, but I'm going to make sure. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for me. And if I have never asked you to come into my heart before, I do ask you to come in right now. And he will. He said he would. And your testimony will be, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. He heard me beside my bed that night, and he hears you as you sit there right now, this very minute, as you talk to him. So do it now. And you can put your head on the pillow tonight, knowing for sure that if this were your last night, you'd wake up in his presence. Isn't that tremendous? I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. It was some time after that that same blonde girl, my girlfriend, and I went to a youth meeting. And at the end of that meeting, an invitation was given for those who wanted to come forward and dedicate their lives, give themselves to Christ for wherever he might lead them. And I don't recall if we sang that song that particular time. We did it a lot in our youth meetings. Where he leads me, I will follow. And it was sort of like this. You know, when you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, he gives himself to you, right? When you dedicate yourself to him, you turn around and give yourself to him. That completes both sides of the transaction. Have you ever done that? Said, Lord, are you giving yourself to me? Now I give myself to you. Well, for this, my girlfriend and I, we did that together. And when the invitation was given, we got up and we went down forward together to give ourselves to him wherever he would lead us, whatever it would mean in our lives. And we meant it. He heard us. He saw us. And I want to tell you, this little chubby guy off the farm in Iowa never dreamed the fantastic adventure that our Lord was going to make our lives. You are looking at two of the most blessed people you have ever seen in your lifetime, in Lucy and Lauren Sanney, the blonde and the little guy off the farm. Surely goodness and mercy has followed us all the days of our lives. And on top of that, we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How do you like that? I'm not a Methodist, but I'd feel like shouting right now. I really do. Is it all right? Say amen. Okay, let's do that. Even in a navigator meeting, you bet. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Well, now, Lucy and I got married. The Lord, in time, gave us 6 wonderful kids. 6 are married. We have 1 unclaimed blessing, and she's a dandy. Just taking the Lord longer to get the guy ready for a gal of her caliber. It was way back, long time ago, a little bit before I met Gene War, a couple years before, when the Lord put on my heart that he was going to call me to a ministry that meant a lot of traveling. And so for almost 30 years now, it's been almost 6 months a year away from home. Well, with 6 kids and all, and particularly when they were growing up, that was quite a thing. I remember I was with the Billy Graham team for 7 years, and it was during that Graham crusade in Oklahoma City in 1956 when Doss Trotman died and I became the president of the Navigators. So that's when I met Gene, my friend Gene War here, and other friends here in Oklahoma City. But I recall how some people, I remember John R. Rice, came to the crusade one time. We had lunch together, and he warned me. He said, Lauren, with that family of children, you're gone so much, they could grow up to serve the devil. And it was a great concern. And we prayed. I remember one time, that's when I guess number 6 had come along, I was in Scotland with the crusade. And the baby, I'd been there about 4 or 5 months, hadn't seen the little one yet. And one day, I had gotten in the car out of Glasgow. I drove down to Loch Lomond. I heard about Loch Lomond when I was a kid. We'd sing about it. And here I was on the banks of Loch Lomond having a half a day or a day with the Lord in his word and in prayer. And that day I was very concerned and I was praying about the children. And that was on March 20th, 1955. And here's what the Lord said to me. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring. They shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's. And another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. And another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord. I repeated that prayer, and I have some other dates here in my Bible. Garden of the Gods, Colorado Springs. This was March 27, 1962. And a few times in between to remind the Lord of what he'd said. You know he's done that. Absolutely fantastic. Now, I got to tell you just a little story about one of them. Two boys and four girls. You know, with the four girls, if I'd have thought of it soon enough and I could have arranged their marriage, I think I would have arranged it this way. I'd have had the first one marry a banker, and the next one an actor, and the next one a preacher, and then the fourth one, an undertaker. They would have one for the money, two for the show, and three to get ready, and four to go. However, with a couple of them as nurses now, I'm trying to talk them into taking a special course in geriatrics, just for Ma and me. Well, I have worked with young men of all kinds most of my lifetime, and I can accept all types until one of them gets interested in one of my daughters. Then suddenly the standards go way up. Well, with one of them, and I won't say which one, there was a young fellow that she liked and liked her, and he was about everything I did not like in a young man. Hair way down below his shoulder blades. Not a Christian, wrong side the tracks, loner, and all the rest. And I thought this was the devil. Here was this sweet girl of mine, and this guy was just taken away from the Lord and kind of dragging her down. And I prayed. Oh, I prayed. And after a couple few months, they broke up. I thanked God for answer to prayer, and it was really terrific. 3 months later, they were together again, thicker than ever. The devil was back at work. And I mean to say, this really got to me. I was obsessed with it. You ever been obsessed with something? You wake up at night, I couldn't get off of my mind, I'd worry about it, I'd fret about it. And another thing I found out, they weren't at our house, they were always at his house. Finally, in my desperation, one night, I got down on my knees in the living room. I can see it very clearly right now by the couch. And I said, Lord, if this young man marries my daughter, I'm going to believe that he's the best young man in the whole world for her. And if he's not that now, you will make him such. Well, that gave me quite a bit of relief. Week or a couple weeks passed, I was still praying about this, and an event came up, which there was a misunderstanding, and I showed my displeasure to that couple in no uncertain terms. And I was praying about it, and it occurred to me that I probably hurt that young fellow. I wronged him. So would you believe it? My first face-to-face contact with this young man was when I invited him into the bedroom so I could talk to him a minute. And I looked at him and I said, you remember that particular day and that situation? Yes. I think I hurt you. Did I? Well, yes. So I said, well, you know, I thought this young man, I thought that was the devil. But here I have, I'm saying to him, I was wrong and I'm sorry. And I want you to forgive me. I'll never forget what he said. He looked at me and he said, well, Mr. Sanny, the Lord forgives you and so do I. And he said, if there's ever anything else you'd like to talk with me about, I'd be glad to talk with you. Well, I said, matter of fact, there is. I said, you're always over at your house. You're never at our house. Of course, I didn't realize what was happening. Another thing was happening. It was our last one. And some guy was hauling off my youngest daughter. And I was angry about it. I was upset about it. And now that I look back, who wants to be under the same roof as an angry old man? I don't blame him. He said, well, I didn't realize I was causing that difficulty. And so they made some changes. Well, through a little series of events, somebody took him to a meeting, and he went forward, this young fellow. So I just took the bull by the horns, and he went a few days later, and I got with him, I talked with him, and I started him in 7 minutes with God, having quiet time. Well, it was during the summertime, and he was out of work, and my wife and I have always had difficulty with any kids, ours or anybody else's, that are not working, that are sitting around. We just don't like to see idle people. He wasn't working right then. But I found out that the 7 minutes with God had stretched into 2 or 3 hours spending with the Lord. One day, a couple months later, I talked to him and said, you know, when did you come to know the Lord? Was it when you went forward? He said, no. He said, I had a poor counselor. He said, it was after you started me in 7 minutes with God. In spite of myself, God had used me to help that young man come to know the Lord. And you know something else? I thought it was their attitude that needed changing. It was mine that needed changing. And when mine changed, theirs did. And I want to tell you, we're so proud of that young man as our son-in-law. Those two kids are in Bible school right now. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. He heard me that night beside the couch. He heard many a night in bed. He heard Lucy. And because he hath inclined his ear unto us, therefore will we call upon him as long as we live. Are you worried about the kids? Have you really got some problems? I recall one time in our church, but we had some junior high kids. There was not one family with a junior high kid where the parents weren't under some pretty severe pressure. But God answers prayer. God changes lives, even those in your own family. May I say it again? I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. And it says me, but I have to say something else. It's uncanny how sometimes when Lucy and I have just stopped and prayed, there'd be an answer before noon. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Can you take another one? I got more of them here than you. I've got more than you've got time, that's for sure. I should have set my alarm here. You know, I've been president of the Navigators for 25 years last year, so they gave me a watch. One with an alarm that tells me when to stop. Yeah, stop. That's right. I remember when Doss Trotman was still president, my kids would say, how long has Dawson been president? When's it going to be your turn? Now they tend to ask me, Dad, when are you going to let somebody else have a turn? Well, whenever the Lord wants. You know, I ought to tell you this little aside about my dad. My dad was not a Christian when I became a Christian. And I was the world's worst witness to a father. I remember one time he said, if I'm not good enough as I am, I'll go to hell. Oh, he's tough as nails. I said, well, Dad, that's where you'll go. Very, very, very tactful I was. Finally, I shut up. I quit witnessing. Start praying and try to live, trying to be the best son I knew. I was off to school and I quit preaching to him in letters. I'd pray for him. I'd just write newsy things that I thought that he might enjoy. And then I would get a verse from the Bible that I knew he already agreed with. Something like hard work from the book of Proverbs, put at the end of the letter. And I remember one time he wrote me and said, I appreciate those verses that you give me on your letters. So then I started putting the references down so he'd look them up. Well, apart from me, through a series of circumstances in middle age, my dad received Christ as Savior. He's coming up 89 in July. I just spent a week staying with him, 5 days. When I'm there, I have to be ready to go out to breakfast. He eats all his meals out. Mom's in the hospital, but Dad still keeps the schedule. At 6:10, I have to be ready to go out to breakfast. I'm not used to doing that in the morning. He's got a lot of zip, still drives around. He drives very well. He told me, he said, you know, I should have been dead by now, Lauren. Doctor gave me 6 months to live, but when he found out I couldn't pay, he gave me an extra 2 years. You ought to hear my dad pray. He's very hard of hearing. And I hear him go to bed at night and how he talks to the Lord. Fantastic. He goes down and visits Mom and he pushes around in a wheelchair. He'll go outside and behind that convalescent hospital. He gets down on his knees unabashedly and he'll pray for her right there. Like some of you were at the conference in January. I said, I'm just so proud of my dad. He just doesn't give up. But he's tough and he's tender, thanks to what the Lord does. And talk about pray. Well, one other. After I came to know the Lord, Lucy and I went off to a Bible school, Biola, in Los Angeles. And there I met Dawson Trotman. And Dawson Trotman took me under his wing and adopted me sort of as his Timothy. Then about a year later, he asked me to move into his home. So I did. And, but you know, Dawson was the kind of a person, he couldn't stand it for anyone to do less than their best. And I felt sometimes like he was too hard on me. I thought I would do 9 things right, maybe slip on up on a 10th, and what did I hear about? The 10th. I started the Navigators working in the print shop with a hand-fed press. And if I had done a stack of things this high, he'd reach in and pull one out and be the only one in the stack that was misprinted or off-center. All the rest would be perfect. It was uncanny. I thought he had help from other than the Lord sometimes. It's terrible. Finally, after a year or so, I got tired of this. I thought, and he's too tough on me. I got the scars to show it. John knows what I'm talking about. You have a few scars yourself, don't you, John? But I knew it was because he loved me. But finally, one day, I was at Hume Lake Conference Grounds in Central California. And I'd had about all I could take. So I got out on a huge boulder by the lake. I can see it yet. And I got an afternoon with the Lord. And I said, Lord, do I have to stay with Doss Trotman and keep taking this tough treatment? I thought it was tough. What do you want me to do? And I prayed. And through a series of things, the Lord led me to some scripture that very clearly said to me, I want you to be willing to be Dawson's servant. To serve him. I don't want you to leave. Now, he could have led me to leave. But I have got some clear scripture where I could point it to. And I said, all right, Lord, I'll stick with him. I'll stay with him regardless of how tough it gets. I'll shine his shoes. I'll be his servant. Whatever it means. I shudder to think sometimes what I might have missed had I not listened to the Lord and stuck it out even though it was a little tough. Because with Dawson Trotman built into my life, there's no way I could ever estimate its value. You know, one of the things it taught me, that my job is to be a servant. My position right now is the president of the Navigators. I will one of these days be out of that position. But if I'm alive and healthy, I will never be out of a job. Because my job is to serve. And you know what? There's always openings for servants. So I thank God for hearing my prayer and answering me that afternoon on the rock at Hume Lake. Well, what is your need tonight? I'm sure you've come with a need, a particular need at this time in your life. And you know something? You may need prayer with somebody. Well, this is the time. This is the place. This is the weekend. And these are the people. Surely there's somebody here that would be helped and glad to share that burden in prayer with you. And you can walk home with that burden lifted and it placed on the shoulders of Him who invited us to give it to Him and who is well able to take care of it. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. He really has. And because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. How about you? How about you? Let's pray right now, shall we? If you came tonight and you weren't certain that if you died tonight, you'd go into His presence. And you did not pray that a little while ago, but you need to. Why don't you right now say something like I did? Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I believe that You died on the cross for me. And if I have never asked You to come into my heart before, I do ask You to come in right now. Thank You. Thank You for coming into my life and being my Savior. And if you're one of those here tonight who it hadn't really dawned on you before that just as the Lord gave Himself to you, you ought to give yourself to Him. And you never really said that to Him. Would you like to do that right now? Lord, I give You me. I present myself to You as a living sacrifice. Here am I. Use me. Send me. Whatever You want to do with me, I give myself to You. I surrender. And then if you're here tonight with something really burdening you, one of the children, or a parent, or a career problem, some possible illness that has you fearful, just hand that over to the Lord right now. Give it to Him. Lord, take care of my child. Would You work in that life? My parents. Whatever that problem is that has been bugging you right now, give it to him. He's well able to take care of it all by himself. Give it to him. Tell him. And now, Lord, here we are. You've brought us here this weekend. We open our hearts to you, to speak to us, to refresh us, to clarify our perspective, and do what needs to be done in each one of us at this particular time in our lives. For we prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.